It's Marketplace Tech for April 10th. I'm Ben Johnson. Tomorrow, the Labor Department gives us what's called the JOLTS Economic Indicator, along with bearing a similar name to my favorite soda in middle school. JOLTS measures job turnover. There's a fair bit of turnover in Silicon Valley, in part because there's so much competition between tech firms. It's also kind of a pricey place to live, and there's the traffic. A poll out last month suggested that nearly half of millennials want to leave Silicon Valley for those reasons. Well, a company called Zapier wants to help with a $10,000 delocation incentive for new hires. Wade Foster is the co-founder and CEO of Zapier, and he joins me now. Wade, thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ben.
Why are you doing this?
So we realized that the cost of living just in the Bay Area has gotten to a point where a lot of folks are thinking, hey, how can I extend my tech career outside of the Bay Area? And for us, the delocation package was a way to tap into those folks who are looking for a change and maybe looking to leave.
Isn't there something to be said, though, to be like in Silicon Valley, the tech hub?
I think the beauty of Silicon Valley is that they've created such great tooling that allows us to connect with each other all over the world, right? You don't necessarily need to have people based in the Bay Area to have that sort of innovation.
Are you going to be doing this 5 years from now, shelling out $10,000 a pop to delocate your employees?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, this was an experiment for us. This was something, you know, we thought we'd give it a try.
Yeah. So as an experiment, what have you learned thus far?
So we've seen a 50% increase in applications to Zapier since announcing the delocation package. So, you know, over 2,000 applicants. In fact, one role alone got over 1,000 applicants, about half of them mentioning the delocation news. So it really has helped drive awareness for Zapier as a company and as a place to work.
Are you worried at all about how some of those employees might struggle with the other parts of the company's culture if they're cast like seeds across the U.S. and across the world?
There is benefits to having, you know, FaceTime with folks and building that sort of, you know, in-person camaraderie. And so, you know, there's ways that we work around that. So every week we do pair buddy chats. Two people in the company randomly get paired up and they jump on a video conference and just chat about life. So you don't totally feel isolated from your coworkers.
Fair enough. Wade Foster, he is the co-founder and CEO of the workflow automation company Zapier. Wade, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Hey, remember when I told you last week about that anonymous Twitter account, the one that the Department of Homeland Security wanted to de-anonymize because the owner claimed to be a government employee and was criticizing the Trump administration's policies? Twitter sued the government to protect the account holder while the government withdrew its order and Twitter withdrew its lawsuit. Legal swords sheathed for now. Okay, do me a favor and make a guess, ballpark, at how often you talk to a computer. Not yell at it like a crazy person, but talk to a computer that talks back. Siri, Alexa, Cortana, Google Home, one of these personal assistant softwares stored in a phone or speaker or dashboard-shaped device. How good is that computer at understanding you? Generally, it's great, right? Unless you have an accent. This is touched on in a piece for the publication Back Channel all about the native English speaker bias of voice-controlled software. It was written by Sonia Paul. Sonia, your story talks about your parents from India and the Philippines. How did their experiences start?
First, they try to get used to Siri, and they always ask me questions like, why is Siri not really understanding my voice? It looks like gibberish. That experience has sort of stained their perceptions. And even when my mom was trying out the Amazon Echo, she was just throwing out, you know, random questions like, oh, can you play this song or that song?
Okay, Alexa, play Que Sera Sera.
I can't find the song Kiss Your Ass Era.
Kiss Your Ass Era, not a song I'm familiar with.
Yeah, I tried Googling it because I was like, oh, is this something
that
exists?
You never know. You never know. Yeah, a lot of songs out there.
But yeah, it takes a lot of work for a machine to actually listen to a voice and transform that into text. So,
and you researched this, right? How companies have trained machines to learn speech. And there's also this operation called Switchboard.
Yes.
What is Switchboard?
Switchboard is basically a pioneering speech database. So in order to teach a machine how to recognize speech, you have to feed it data. And so it began as a program by Texas Instruments in the early 1990s. So they would reach out to different people to participate in the study. A participant would dial a phone number. An operator would answer the phone, say, you know, like, hang on, and they'll get another study participant. And the two people were then instructed to talk about a random topic.
We live on a, it used to be a farm, but we don't farm it. But we do have a garden.
See, I got mine in, well, let's see, I put in pepper plants this weekend.
Oh, wish I could be doing that.
So that's really interesting, just listening to that and thinking about a machine trying to sort of decipher it, right?
Yeah, but you have to think this was in like 1990, 1991. So it's a pretty outdated model given that, you know, language is not static.
And the machines that are learning are also not static. Isn't it just a kind of matter of time before Alexa understands your mother immediately?
Well, that's the hope, right? But it's difficult. You have to feed these machines so many transcriptions. So if you're a major technology company, you're probably going to pay attention to larger markets, first of all, and then expand from there. And so people are already like code switching to do whatever is most convenient. There's a linguistic currency at play as well.
Sonia Paul, she's contributor to Backchannel, and her piece is on backchannel.com. Sonia, thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Hours to see. Que será, será. What
will be when I grew up. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.